Big weekend of football this weekend, and we want to know who you're going to be rooting for this weekend, of course, with the Texans out of the playoffs. So 713-572-4610 on the DWIattorney.com text line, or you can tweet all of us at SportsRadio610, at Mike Meltzer, at Seth C. Payne, at Gallant Says, the first game of the weekend, which you will be able to hear right here on Sports Radio 610, your home of the NFL, with kickoff at 3:30, the Kansas City Chiefs. They host the Indianapolis Colts. Kansas City is favored to win this one by 5.5 points.
This is a tremendous NFL playoff game. I mean, they're all good, obviously, because it's the NFL playoffs. But think about this. You have the team that's been the best team in the AFC all year, the team that's going to have the MVP. But those people at Arrowhead tomorrow afternoon are going to be very nervous, waiting for the other shoe to drop. And, I mean, the Texans defense was dominated, let's be honest, by the Colts offense. The Chiefs defense, if you can believe it, I mean, they have been far worse this season than the Texans defense, obviously. I'm curious how they plan to stop Andrew Luck and what they can do against those guys.
How do you stop Andrew Luck? The Arrowhead Stadium is not nearly as intimidating a place to play in the playoffs as you might think. But I don't know. Look, yeah, like you go into historical records and whatnot. That has
Why
a whole lot
that?
To do with it. For one, the Chiefs for a long time were a great regular season offense. Like I think they had a lot of early departures from the playoffs because they were a great offense they scored too quickly. Now we're going back to Schottenheimer days and post-Schottenheimer and everything, so I won't worry about that. This is the one thing that I'm saying, and I'm getting a little bit annoyed. I'm getting actually a lot bit annoyed with this. The Colts defense has done a very nice job. They shut the Texans offense down. I'll give them complete credit for that. But two things. One, they haven't faced a really good offense this year, and it's certainly not since they started looking really good on defense. Second, this Pierre Desir is getting so much credit for quote-unquote shutting down DeAndre Hopkins, who was hobbled by an ankle injury and was playing with one arm for three quarters of the game on last Saturday. Like, I'm so sick. I've heard Pierre Desir lauded as like the revelation of that game last week without anybody mentioning it. Like, oh yeah, by the way, he had help on every single play, and DeAndre Hopkins had a separated shoulder that he was out there playing with, and he already had an ankle. Like, this, to pretend like this had anything to do with Pierre Desir being the bright, new, young, up-and-coming corner, this is why I hope the Colts get eviscerated. At some point, Now, if they don't get eviscerated, I'm rooting for Andrew Luck post this game.
Come to the dark side,
Seth. But this is no. I would love for Pat Mahomes to just destroy that Colts defense. I give them full credit for shutting down the Texans offense, but I'm incredibly annoyed. They are my Sean McVay. Just like you, Paul, are annoyed by Sean McVay, I'm annoyed by all this love the Colts defense is getting.
Their running game is, I think, the big key in this one. Are they going to get off to one of those big time drives? Yeah, the Colts running game, because they will be able to run on Kansas City. It's just a matter of, are they going to be able to do it early in the game? Because they won't have a chance to do it likely late, because Kansas City's going to score. I don't care how well Indy's defense has played over the last couple of weeks. This is one of the best offenses that I've seen over the last couple of years. And yeah, they have not maybe been playing at their A game the last couple of weeks, and losing Kareem Hunt has been a big deal for them and is something that should be remembered for them in the playoffs. But I mean, I don't think there's any player in the Colts secondary, let alone many secondaries in the NFL, that can even stay close to Tyreek Hill.
Plus, it is interesting too when you look at the Chiefs and you're like, wow, they've really slowed down. Like, yeah, they've only been scoring in the low 30s and high 20s. just because we've had to reset our expectations a little bit. It's not like they've been getting shut out.
Up next in the playoff weekend, as there are four games this weekend, it's the best weekend of the year. You don't have any of those dud teams that didn't deserve to make the playoffs, like in the wild card round. You've got the Los Angeles Rams hosting the Dallas Cowboys, 7-point favorites. That one kicks off 7:15 Central right here again on Sports Radio 610.
The Cowboys are playing with house money in this game. To me, all the pressure's on the Rams, obviously. You got to hit Jared Goff if you're the Cowboys. I'm fascinated to see the matchup of the Rams offense against the Cowboys defense. I do expect the Rams, though, to play well and win this game.
I don't know about this question. Who's the better quarterback at this point? It's weird that I'm asking this question. Dak Prescott or Jared Goff?
Goff.
I think Goff.
Over the last 5 weeks.
Last
5 weeks, Prescott.
Yeah. Prescott. I mean, Prescott, when he runs, he's really good. Yep. And if he has the ability to run, I mean, he's going to continue to have a modicum of success.
Yeah. One thing to look at, the Rams have an atrocious run defense. Mm-hmm. Like, they're giving up over 5 yards a carry. They got to button that thing up
absolutely
tomorrow.
Absolutely disgusting. And the other thing I would say is that the Cowboys run some of the same elements defensively that the Lions and the Bears do. The Lions and the Bears were very successful against the Rams, but that was when the Rams were on the road. The Rams at home are scoring 37 points per game. They, unlike that other team in LA, have a decided home field advantage. So I really like a lot of things the Cowboys are doing on defense right now. I just don't think they're going to get scorched at some point during this game, and I don't think the Cowboys can do the same to the Rams defense.
I don't trust the Cowboys offense at all, but I do trust Ezekiel Elliott against this Rams defense, which doesn't seem like it makes a whole lot of sense. It's more just I have a bias against Dak Prescott.
The Rams are, you know what? I think the Rams have improved with their pass coverage. They're atrocious against the run.
You hear Mari Cooper?
Ezekiel Elliott might be your pass game. But like, you know what? What's better? A 40-yard throw to Ezekiel Elliott or a 40-yard run? Or I mean, a 30-yard throw to a receiver or a 40-yard run? I mean, Ezekiel Elliott will give that to you.
Amari Cooper was saying, well, I know Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters like the back of my hand. I think if there's an upset to happen this weekend, this is the one where I feel like there's the best chance that no one's talking about.
I think
that makes sense.
I think Aqib Talib.
I can just see that with the Cowboys defense.
I think Amari Cooper just ordered himself up a chain snatching. That Aqib Talib's going to snatch that chain.
We'll get to the other two games later. The Patriots, of course, they host the Los Angeles Chargers Sunday at noon, and then 3:40 on Sunday. Two games you'll hear also on Sports Radio 610. The Saints host the Eagles. The Saints are 8-point favorites. The Patriots are 4-point favorites in those two games, respectively.
All right, so I'm obviously rooting big for the Chargers in this spot. I'm not sure if I have any real confidence in them going into this game. I mean, they do have a lot of talent. Sometimes when I feel like the Patriots will lose a game at home, like I thought about 6 weeks ago with Minnesota, they'll just like play like a nice, clean game and take care of things. But I think the Chargers are objectively like a really live dog in this spot.
They're very balanced, and I think the real question is New England's defense actually good this season, or are they smoke and mirrors? Because they're going to have a big-time game, I think, to slow down the Chargers. Is Melvin Gordon going to be 100%? Because the Patriots' run defense can definitely be pushed around, too. That, I think, is a big question of this one.
Is Gronk any better?
And that's where I don't know if the Chargers... I think the Chargers were a really well-balanced team. I don't know if they are anymore. And I think they're very capable of handling some of the things the Patriots are doing on defense. Because they're doing a lot of similar things that the Ravens were doing, but not as well. So as long as Melvin Gordon can be effective with those... He's worked through two MCLs. I think they'll be fine. You know what sickens me about this game? The playoff format. Like, the Chargers should be at home. It's not fair. It has nothing to do with the Patriots or anything. It's just the playoff format, just because they won the division, they get home field advantage over a team that has more wins than them.
Excellent point.
But
excellent point.
Here's the thing. If that was a Los Angeles home game, that stadium would be 66% Patriot fans.
But here's the thing.
But they don't have to travel to the... What time is this game?
It's at noon on Sunday.
This is at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
West Coast time. This is body clock. This is travel. This is all that stuff.
It's not about it being in Carson. It's about it not being at Foxborough.
How do you put this in? That's so messed up.
I know.
Go over and play. Like, you're waking up. Just think about it. Like, you just woke up. You're listening to us right now. And by the way, you're playing against full grown men in 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Yes.
And of course, the other game is the Saints and the Eagles. I did want to get to one other story in headlines. This is just really noteworthy coming out of Pittsburgh. Per Steel owner Art Rooney, when it comes to...
Wait a second. It sounded like you said perv Steelers owner Art Rooney. He is not a perv
at
all.
I did not say that. That is slander.
You said per. Okay.
Per.
Yeah.
Per Steelers owner Art Rooney. Quote, it is hard to envision Antonio Brown being with the team for training camp. And further, there's not much we can do right now. We have time to make a decision. We'll look at all the options. We're not going to release him. That's not on the table. But all other options are on the table. Whether the situation can be reconciled and have him back on the team next year, we are a long way away from thinking that can happen. So nothing has been closed as far as possibilities for Antonio Brown.
I don't know what the upside of him saying this is, but I'm terrified of a team like, let's say, Indianapolis making a move for Antonio Brown where they can absorb his money really easily.
And it's one of these weird situations where you think, I don't know if I want him on my team, but I desperately don't want my opponent to have him.
Yes.
So what does that say about me not wanting him on my team? Because he could, but he is one of those players that I think could go to one of your opponents and could give them an electrifying jolt for a little while, but then you question, all right, what is the staying power there? And I think somebody's going to trade for him. I think somebody will take on that contract.
Definitely.
He's just got such incredible talent. And what they're going to think is, you know what, our culture here is better than Mike Tomlin's culture there, and he'll be fine here.
Time now for Positive Paul on a Friday.
So I will say this about this weekend where we have to sit at home and watch the Indianapolis Colts, who completely dismantled the Texans this past Saturday, play against the Kansas City Chiefs tomorrow. At the very least, we can sit back and laugh at the Indianapolis Colts one more time for something that I guess has been a season motto for them, 1-0 a week at a time. They have a flag outside of Lucas Oil Field, which says 1-0. And when you compare this to the banner that they had for being the runner-up in the AFC Championship when they got crushed by the Patriots and what led to the Deflategate scandal, they raised up AFC runner-up 2014, I believe it was. I like that we can still make fun of the Indianapolis Colts for having banners and flags that are a bit lame, even if they did just kick the Texans out.
It's so dumb.
This 1-0 I'm okay with, though. It's not like this is a permanent flag. This is like, hey, we're in the playoffs. It's a new season. We're 1-0. I actually kind of like this one.
I don't like this. This is the kind of thing that if the Texans were to do this, if they had beaten Indy and they had a flag outside of NRG saying 1-0,
blasted,
I would be angry about it on the air, and then people would be like, oh, Mike, stop. What are you doing?
Texans, bro.
Why are you peeing on like our happiness? What are you doing? But I will tell you, I am fair about things, and I will tell you, the Colts 1-0 banner flag thing annoys me.
I don't like it.
Texans
either.
Bill would have called you a Jersey Bernie. RIP, by the way. Did you know that Texans Bill passed away? A couple months ago?
No. Not Texans Bill. Joe Texan passed away.
That's right, yeah.
Yes, I did know that.
Sorry,
yes.
Texan Bill, if you're listening.
He's still alive. I just saw him tweet.
You're still
like,
alive.
I'm like, hold on. This is
Joe Texan, excuse me.
Yeah,
Joe Texan, who had it in for Mike and I for a while, but then I made up with him at the draft one year. Oh. We had a nice conversation. So
nice guy. Joe Texan and also the End Zone King, rest in peace. Both died within the span of a few weeks.
Okay, wow.
I think most people know, as we continue Positive Paul, that I am not a John Elway fan. It's not that I think he's bad at his job. I think that he got a lot more praise than he was due from a lot of writers and others who cover the National Football League for some of his early moves. And we've seen what he's been doing with quarterbacks over the last couple of seasons. Yeah. And it's been a damn disaster there. But Elway, I feel like, is like a middle of the road general manager who had the early success, got a Super Bowl and all of that. I hate admitting that John Elway made a good move, though, because I feel like John Elway just sits in his office and there's like a video behind him, a monitor that's just constantly playing his helicopter run in the Super Bowl. And it's just Pat Bowlen's voice on loop constantly saying, this one's for John. This one's for John. Like, I think he's that kind of person.
He mountain bikes a lot.
But you, Seth, and Kylie Wong have convinced me that this Vic Fangio hire is just incredible.
It'll be interesting because he's going to need to have... He's got to have the right kind of guys, and I think he does there. And it's not just athletically. It's kind of guys that he's almost like a Tony Dungy, where you've got to have guys that are natural competitors because you're not going to get a fiery speech, and he's not going to tweak you the way Bill Parcells might tweak people's motivations and everything. But he'll make those guys smarter football players. Like, I was like playing in Vic Fangio's scheme, I got smarter immediately because he teaches you basically how to read offenses. And with defensive backs especially, that's why the Bears were so opportunistic. And when he was here, there were just all these, you know, between the offense being so horrid and just injuries and age taking its toll over time. The last couple of years here, that might have been the worst time in Vic Fangio's career over 40 years as a coordinator.
Yeah.
Like, every other place he's been, he's had some really astoundingly good success.
And there's something to be said, I think, too, for bringing in a head coach that will be able to make what you do best better.
Yeah.
And the Broncos' best player is Von Miller.
Yes.
And he was asked about Von Miller. He thinks that he will be able to make Von Miller better because he's always made pass rushers better. I'm aware he had a good season this year, said Fangio. That's my position of expertise when I'm coaching a position. And those guys are going to get coached by their position coach, but they're going to get a little extra from me too. We're going to try to take them both to bigger and better levels. I think Von Miller can play even better than he's played in his career.
That's a pretty direct statement. And not only Von Miller, you got Bradley Chubb as well. If I were in Denver, my only thing would be like, this is all great.
I'd be
thinking, listen, we had a good defense this year and we missed the playoffs again, so this is all great, but you got to fix the offense.
Stephen A. Smith comes off as fake from time to time and as a bit of a cartoon character, but his rants are funny. I think we can all appreciate that no matter how ridiculous some of the things that he say might actually be, they're amusing because he is very good at delivering a hot take. This hot take about Cliff Kingsbury being hired as the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals brought a smile to my face.
The man didn't even have a .500 record at Texas Tech. He got an offensive coordinator's job at USC, and before he had a chance to take a leak, this brother's got a head coaching job in the National Football League. How much time, Duno, John, did he actually spend at USC? What, a week? He didn't even have an opportunity to go to Roscoe's for chicken and waffles.
Really good chicken and waffles if you've never been to
Roscoe's. What the hell is going on? And this guy is some candidate that you're clamoring for? Okay, okay, he's photogenic. The ladies will love Mr. Kingsbury. Mr. Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, let's stop the presses right now. The ladies are going to be all over the place drooling over Cliff Kingsbury.
Scottsdale.
He's photogenic.
Yeah.
In some people's eyes, it looks like a model.
Good voice.
In my personal opinion, he looks like he belongs on The Bachelor. Here's the problem. He looks like he belongs on The Bachelor more than he belongs on the sideline as a head coach for a National Football League team.
And you get the point of it at this point. I mean, that's Stephen A. Smith, everybody.
You know what I keep seeing come up here, and it's just curious to me. People keep trying to use his short tenure at USC as a negative somehow. And I don't, like, I genuinely don't understand it. Like, other than they'll say, like, he only spent a few weeks at USC. I'm like, yeah, I know, because he, like, because they wouldn't let him interview, so he left for I don't get it. Like, where's the knock on that?
I think the big thing is, why do you take the job to begin with?
Right.
Like, what was the point of that?
I don't think he expected or anticipated so much interest from the NFL. I don't think he expected the Sean McVay
phenomenon
to go on. And then maybe that, I don't think he realized that, hey, Pat Mahomes being the MVP might have helped you out too.
If I was a USC fan, I'd be annoyed. And that's where I'd be annoyed.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, you can take whatever job you want. I can't argue with this, but like, he should have foreseen this in some way.
But this is what but people aren't even criticizing him for bailing out on USC. They're almost using it like as a negative on his resume that he was
only
there for...
Look at what a terrible job he did at USC.
Yes, they're acting like he got run out of USC or something. I don't get it.
That's funny.
I do hope he stopped at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles while he was there. It is fantastic.
Is that good?
One real quick one to wrap it up. Okay, is it Jeff Bezos? Did I actually get his pronunciation right?
I don't know. I always say, Jeff Bezos.
So he's going through a divorce.
I think Bezos.
He's worth $140 billion, but he's going through a divorce with his wife of 25 years.
Yeah.
And it's because he had a bit of a affair on the side with a woman by the name of Lauren Sanchez, who's done a bunch of TV, who has a baby with former Chiefs tight end Tony Gonzalez.
Ooh.
And apparently Bezos
is
also friends with her husband, who's, I guess, some real estate mogul in Los Angeles. I am better at texting women than Jeff Bezos. Can I get a little background music to read some Jeff Bezos texts?
These are texts to the lover or the wife?
To the lover. I love you alive, girl. I will show you with my body and my lips and my eyes very soon. Another text from Jeff Bezos to Lauren Sanchez. I want to smell you. I want to breathe you in. I want to hold you tight. I want to kiss your lips. I love you. I'm in love with you.
I'm going to tell you guys this right now. This may surprise you. I would reveal any text I have sent to a woman after reading this kind of stuff. This kind of stuff is so ridiculous that I would be willing to share that because I think my texts are better than this.
You know what happens, Mike? You know what? $140 billion turns you into damn Shakespeare.
that I can't argue with, yes.
I'm surprised. Honestly, I'm a little disappointed that he was using the rudimentary technology of text. I thought he'd have, like drones delivering messages to her or something.
Right?
or
other things. Erotic gifts. I miss you. I want to kiss you right now. Tuck you in slowly, gently, and maybe in the morning wake you up and not be quite so gentle with you. My name is Jeff Bezos. I also have $140 billion. Check that. $70 billion. It's my damn wife.
This guy.